Well, there's been dramatic testimony in a courtroom today in Atlanta before a judge hands down sentences to 10 educators convicted April 1st of racketeering in one of the country's largest ever test cheating scandals. Defendants and their supporters have been reading tearful statements about the convicted educators' good intentions. Several people implied their roles in the scandal were not as they appeared. Here's one of the defendants.
My intentions and my words were misconstrued. They were perverted and twisted and distorted into something that was ugly. But it was never my intent, and I am sorry for that.
My intentions and my words misconstrued. Celeste Headlee of Georgia Public Broadcasting joins us from the Atlanta studios of GPB. And Celeste, it sounds as if at least one of the defendants is almost re-arguing the case as the sentencing, you know, is going to be handed down. It also sounds very emotional there. Tell us more about what you're seeing and hearing.
Well, you're hearing from a lot of family members. You had some tearful family members, like a daughter pleading for her father, saying, please send my father home. I miss him. I can't talk to him anymore about personal things. He's a good man. These are all things that the judge had the patience for, and he was very kind and generous with the time in allowing these people to speak. But you're correct in saying that they're almost re-arguing the case. You know, we just heard a pretty passionate exchange between the judge and Ambassador Andrew Young, who many people know was a close cohort of Martin Luther King Jr.'s during the civil rights movement. And Andrew Young's argument is very similar to many others, which is that why would you hand such a harsh sentence out on these educators when they're really just the victim of a perverted system?
Well, King's daughter, Bernice King, actually entered a statement as well. But remind us what former school superintendent Beverly Hall, who died this year from breast cancer, and the educators were convicted of.
Yeah, and she faced 45 years in prison if she had been convicted. But we're talking about a widespread cheating scandal. The guilty verdicts convicted him of not just conspiring to cheat on standardized tests, but then trying to cover it up. And because it was coordinated, that's where the RICO charges come in.
Racketeering.
And we've had a lot of, the racketeering, we've had a lot of pushback on that being used. A law that was basically meant to target mobsters, mm-hmm. now targeting educators. But they found, going back to 2009, they found a lot of erasures where teachers had altered them, erased the wrong answer, and put in the correct one.
Well, remind us again, and everybody's following this, you know, extremely closely in Atlanta, but if you haven't been, why were so many found guilty at that time and not being sentenced today? We were reading that the investigation in 2011 found that 38 principals and 140 teachers were involved in cheating.
Yes, there were actually 21 defendants that pleaded guilty already. You know, at the very beginning of this, the judge, Jerry Baxter, had warned defendants that there was a lot of strong evidence against them, and he asked them, basically, he advised them almost not to allow it to go to trial. So 21 people pleaded guilty. They accepted probation and community service. In many cases, that's already done. He had warned the defendants who chose to go to trial with it that there would be severe consequences if they were found guilty. So this is a judge from the very beginning who has not planned to take this lightly.
And why would so many teachers do this? What was the thinking behind the conspiracy to cheat?
Well, a lot of that falls on the shoulders, now deceased, of the late Beverly Hall, who was the APS superintendent. There's been a lot of evidence and testimony in this case that both teachers and administrators were in basically a no-win situation. They were forced to choose between cheating on standardized testing or losing their jobs. And we do know that a lot of bonuses for teachers were contingent on actual goals in reaching scores from particular students. They had to bring these failing schools up to code or they'd be fired.
Right, or not get promotions or not get those cash bonuses.
Exactly.
So tell us just a bit about these 10 being sentenced today.
Now, remember, there's one who's missing. Shani Robinson was a first grade teacher, and she went into labor Saturday, and she delivered a baby boy Saturday afternoon. She's scheduled to be sentenced until August. One of the 12 defendants was found not guilty. The rest of them, I mean, it's kind of odd because there were 12 jurors, Robin, and 12 defendants. So it's a little bit of an irony here.
Yeah.
But these are a mixture of elementary school teachers, administrators, just a whole kind of a range across. But we're also not talking about high officials. We are talking basically about on the ground in the school administrators and teachers and principals.
Well, we're hearing today that their family is saying things like there's been poverty and shame since the news of the scandal broke. Just very briefly, how is Atlanta reacting to this?
This is a tragedy for the whole city. You can't help but have empathy for some of these people who have put decades into the public school system at the same time that you can do nothing but condemn the actions of cheating on tests that end up hurting school children. But, emotionally, this has really torn the city apart.
Yeah. Celeste Headlee, producer, host with Georgia Public Broadcasting at their studios in Atlanta, where educators are awaiting their sentencing today. Celeste, thank you.
My pleasure.